Hello! Welcome to the Rotten Horror Picture Show, the horror movie podcast, where we talk about films on the Rotten Tomatoes 200 Best Horror Movies of All Time list. My name is Clay. With me, as always, is Amanda. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing okay. I've just been thinking about how, the self-destructive nature of the human condition scares me.
Yes. It should, because it's getting pretty self-destructive these days.
And in 2002, apparently.
Politics.
Well. Politics.
Well, gosh. Actually, 2002, yeah, I guess it would be, things were pretty wild back then.
Yeah. Yeah, bleak in a whole different way.
Yeah. But also the same.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to talk to you. Goodbye,
anyway.
Everyone.
today, we are doing a little movie that people have been telling me to watch for literally 20 years, mm-hmm. called Dog Soldiers.
Yes.
Which is number 198 on our list. It has an 82% Rotten Tomato score, a 79% audience score. Had you seen this before?
I had not. This is one that I also had been told to watch and mm-hmm. had seen kind of regularly while flipping through like streaming channels and stuff. And mm-hmm. kept thinking, man, I got to watch that. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited we got this opportunity to.
Yes, I have also, I had never seen it. It's one of those ones that comes up in conversation a lot,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, have you seen, you like that one? Have you seen Dog Soldiers?
Yeah.
And then I say no, and people go away sad. I do think, though, possibly one of the reasons I hadn't sought it out was this movie did not get a American theatrical release.
Mm.
It actually debuted on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh.
And so I don't know if maybe I had seen ads for that or something, and I just, it had the sci-fi stink on it, so I didn't bother watching it. Those movies are notoriously not very good.
I think for me it was just, I knew it was a low-budget movie,
mm-hmm.
and I had sort of an idea in my mind that it was going to be like a certain type of low-budget movie that you have to be in the mood for.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where it's like kind of crappy with like a few shining moments of like, oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
But otherwise, maybe not the most enjoyable to watch. Mm-hmm. So I just kept being like, ugh, I'll get to it someday.
Yeah, I had, when we finally watched it, mm-hmm. I realized I had no concept of what this movie was at all.
Like, okay.
I thought I had an idea, but I was wrong. Well, my idea that I mm-hmm. thought was this movie did involve a bunch of soldiers in some sort of enclosed space dealing with werewolves.
Uh-huh.
So I was on the board.
Okay.
But aside from that, no idea. I didn't know it took place in Scotland. I didn't
nope.
know anything else about it.
Nope. I thought the soldiers were the werewolves.
Yeah.
Which is part of why I think I was resistant to it, is I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to watch all these like soldiers come in with guns and then they also are werewolves and like they're just killing some random group of people. Like that mm-hmm. just seems like the deck is really stacked.
Yeah.
And this movie is the opposite of that.
It's true. Very much so.
So I was maybe as wrong as you could have been while still including werewolves.
That's, I get, yeah.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's fun. Anyway, we're going to play the trailer, take a quick break, come back and talk about it.
Those things out there are real. If they're real, what else is real? You may never get another night's sleep as long as you live.
Now, as of this moment, as far as we're concerned, we are 50k behind enemy lines. Now, expect nothing less than gratuitous violence from the lot of you.
Every year, more and more people come through here. And every once in a while, they don't come back.
Captain!
You've got to get me out of here.
Looks like they got hit hard and fast. Every magazine is full.
From here on in, the exercise is over.
Exactly what is it we're fighting against?
Lycanthropes.
That's werewolves to you and me.
You came here because of them, right?
This was supposed to be a routine training exercise, and that's all.
Creature survival lies not in running and hiding.
Salvage whatever weapons you can find and stand.
So, shut down the generator.
Why would they do that?
Because they can see in the dark.
And you're afraid of it.
There was only supposed to be one! Tore them to
pieces in front of my eyes!
Honestly, what are our chances?
So, if little Red Riding Hood should show up with a bazooka and a bad attitude, I expect you to chin the bitch.
You're bloody loving this, aren't you?
Terry, where you at? Stick the kettle on. Could all do with a brew.
Okay. Dog Soldiers from 2002. Written and directed by Neil Marshall, who I believe he's on our list again with The Descent.
Yeah.
Very strange career, this one, because he's got this, and then I believe The Descent is his next movie.
I think so.
And then since then, he seems to have been doing a bunch of stuff that's not really that very good.
Hmm.
And he's done a bunch of, he's done good TV. He did some Westworld, and he did,
Wasn't he involved in Game of Thrones?
Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
I know one of the actors was.
Yes.
But.
There's another TV show that he did that he had shot at least one episode for that was pretty good.
Hmm.
But the movies, when I saw the movies that he had done, I was like, oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that looked like crap. And I feel like this is a guy who people generally talk about favorably, mainly because of, I think, this movie and
The Descent.
So I don't know. Hopefully he's happy. He's getting to do what he loves for a living. Anyway.
Yeah.
And it stars Alfred Pennyworth from the TV show Gotham, Tommy from Trainspotting, but almost Jason Statham. Statham? Oh, that was me.
You just become Dutch?
That was me not committing to how to pronounce that A.
Statham.
Apparently, the actor who played Cooper cracked one of his ribs during filming, and he didn't tell anybody because he thought if he did, he would be replaced.
Ooh.
And then finally, the pain got too much, and he did tell the director, and he was replaced.
Oh!
They were going to replace him with Jason Statham.
Uh-huh.
But Jason Statham couldn't do it because he was in John Carpenter's Ghost of Mars.
Oh.
And so they just waited till he healed up and then the original guy came back.
So
Ghosts of Mars, not entirely bad is what I'm trying to say. Emma Cleesby, Davos from Game of Thrones, a bunch of other guys, and Vilricus Acer as Sam the Dog.
Aww.
Amanda.
Yes, Clay.
What happens in Dog Soldiers?
During a nighttime training mission in the Scottish Highlands, a small squad of British soldiers expected to rendezvous with a special ops unit instead find a bloody massacre with a sole survivor. The savage attackers of the special ops team return, and the men are rescued by Megan, a zoologist who identifies what hunts them as werewolves. Without transport or communications, the group is forced to retreat to a farmhouse to wait for the full moon to disappear at dawn.
Yep.
Checks out?
Yeah, sort of.
More or less.
I
all the big beats.
I'm skeptical. Jeez, my mouth doesn't work today.
You're a skeptical Stephen?
I'm very skeptical to that idea.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical of the full moon aspect because I didn't feel like that played much of a part in this movie. Is that true that they are trying to wait out the full moon?
Well, they're definitely trying to wait out the night, right?
Yeah, okay.
And they do. It does seem to be a monthly pattern. We can talk about it.
What would give you that idea? Surely not jokes about menstruation cycles.
I mean, I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
Well, Clay,
that's so progressive of you.
I just don't even know. Clay, some things you'll find in Dog Soldiers include Chekhov's solid silver letter opener.
Yes. One of the clumsiest ways I've ever seen that done. And I was very disappointed that the gift that she gave to her boyfriend, the writer, was not, in fact, Stephen King's pen. Which is
Stephen King's solid silver pen.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
There's a lot of like callbacks and references and stuff in this movie. Mm-hmm. That would have been killer if this movie opened
literally.
If that movie opened with the redemption of the pen that Stephen King writes with.
Yeah,
from Friday the 13th Part 8, because it actually factored into the plot and wasn't just there for
no
discernible reason.
a full-on footy war.
Yes, I'm assuming that's some sort of weird English sex thing. I'm not really sure what that is.
Come on.
Kyle will know.
A homosexual sex thing.
Oh, excuse me. Kyle will know.
A Kobayashi Maru reference.
Yes, for all the Star Trek heads out there and the Penske File listeners, they do refer, one of them does refer to this mission they're on as the bloody Kobayashi Maru test, in that they are manufactured a no-win scenario. And nobody, thankfully, this movie was not made last year. And so when he says Kobayashi Maru, someone else doesn't go, what's that? And then he has to be like, you know, from Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, this way it just gets to feel organic and timely.
Yes. It's just a hat and not a hat on a hat.
The beauty of the Scottish Highlands / Luxembourg.
Cannot tell the difference.
No, they
are never been to either.
Apparently the same place.
Yes.
The classic stealth maneuver, whistling.
Yes. Instant fail, I would say.
Yeah, that one I was just like, okay. I get it, you guys aren't taking this seriously because it's quote-unquote just an exercise, but like, come on.
That first sequence seemed like just an exercise, too, and he shot a fucking dog at the end of it. So
that's true.
Maybe he should be taking it seriously.
Yeah, different levels of commitment to the bit from different parts of the military. Manager special intestines.
Yeah, those, they look like they came right from the butcher shop.
Nice and fresh.
It looked like a wrap of Italian sausage dunked in aso sauce or something.
I mean, surprisingly effective.
Yeah, no, they work.
I'll say it works.
Yeah.
Mid-crisis tea break.
Gotta have it. Another English thing, I assume.
I mean, I would absolutely do that, too.
So yeah.
That's the most relatable part of this movie to me. A dog murderer. And / dog murderer.
Yes.
It works both ways.
It does.
He murders a dog and then he becomes a dog who murders.
That's true. Okay. I thought that the dog attacks somebody, right? Doesn't he save someone?
Yes. He definitely attacks.
He doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Okay. It still works.
Yeah. A couple levels.
Strike two, but it's all
right. A sword and a coffee table.
Yeah.
Just, you know, where else are you supposed to put it in your house?
Very few places in the house generally are oblong boxes like that in which you could fit a sword, a full-size sword.
Just, you know. Werewolf boxing.
Yep. Get a couple punches in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And last but definitely not least, a werewolf with a shotgun.
Yes, I did really enjoy when the werewolf pulls the shotgun out and all of a sudden shoots it back into the house, which does bring me to my first question about this movie.
Yes,
which is, I think ostensibly you could probably say that this movie is Evil Dead with werewolves, kind of.
Sure, or Night of the Living Dead.
Or Night of the Living Dead, or any other number of...
Aliens with werewolves.
Is... this, and this is not an important distinction to make. I'm just curious how you feel about it. Is this a comedy? Like, is it meant to be funny?
In more
of a sense than like people say things that are humorous. Like, is it meant to be kind of tongue in cheek? Because generally, I wasn't sure until the jumping all the way to the end.
Yeah,
the end credit sequence where the last thing you see is a British tabloid. With a photo of Cooper saying, like, British soldier rants about werewolves. And then giant
like,
letters.
Werewolves ate my unit or whatever.
Yeah. And then a giant type next to it is the score of the football game that they missed. So, and I was like, that's pretty funny. Is that just a tag or is this whole movie supposed to be like kind of tongue in cheek?
I don't think the whole movie is supposed to be tongue in cheek. I think it's more of like. There's a certain gallows humor woven throughout. You know, there are a lot of like good one-liners and kind of like quippy bits. And there are some funny, some genuinely funny moments. Like when they are trying to super glue the sergeant back together. And he says to Cooper, like, punch me, knock me out.
Yes.
And he hits him once and he's down for a second. And then he pops back up being like, you bitch, punch me harder or whatever he says.
Apparently in that sequence, he threw a stage punch the first time. Uh-huh. And then the second time accidentally punched him in the face. But he didn't feel it because I guess he was actually drunk when they shot that scene.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So says IMDb.com.
God, I hope that's true because that's great. But like that's funny, but it's not. It's funny, and I think it's there to be funny, but it's also not like super played for laughs.
Sure.
You know, like there's nothing slapstick about it exactly. Like it's not quite that like amped up in terms of mood and tone. It's more.
Well, that's
just sometimes when things are dark and horrible, shit can also still be funny.
Well, that's why I one of the main reasons I said Evil Dead with werewolves, because it kind of had the same feeling as like that first Evil Dead movie,
sure,
where it's like what is happening is objectively horrifying, but you can feel there's a little bit of humor baked into it.
Yeah,
and I'm not, and this is not a criticism, because I was just curious. I wasn't sure if I was the only person picking that up.
No, I think the humor is very much there, and it's supposed to be there, but this is definitely not like, you know, proto Shaun of the Dead or whatever.
Sure.
Apparently
also Simon Pegg offered a role in this movie.
Oh, funny.
But he turned it down because Edgar Wright asked him, what was it? Edgar Wright asked him to not do a horror movie until they did one together, I think, or something like that.
Okay. Good friend right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, worked out better for Simon Pegg probably that he did Shaun of the Dead instead of this.
Did he do it instead, or could he have done it in addition to?
That's a good question.
That's more what I mean.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to do both.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would have said it was a comedy.
if Simon Pegg had been in it?
No. Never mind. Moving on. What were we talking about?
You were asking if this movie is a comedy.
Yes. It doesn't start like one.
Yeah, and I just think tonally it doesn't quite. It's not over the top enough to read as a true horror comedy to me.
Yeah.
I think it's still like a horror movie, a monster movie, and it just so happens to have some funny bits.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I do think it does fall into that Evil Dead sphere where it's like you can be both things at the same time, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And that is to say, having not watched this movie before, I liked it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I think it gets a little sloppy in the back end.
Yes.
Which I was going to say, which I know you love. I thought for the most part it was a lot of fun. I thought the werewolves looked great.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was ready for this. Like I said at the top, my sort of accidental impression of what this movie was going to be was that it was one of those, you know, early 2000s, low budget. It's going to have a couple things in it that make you go, oh, wow, that was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it's going to be garbage.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised. I wouldn't describe this movie that way at all. I would say it has its weak points, but I think overall it's like a really fun movie, and it's impressive what they did with such a small budget.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely starts off the way you're talking. Not in that it's bad or anything, but if you got a movie that's mostly a bunch of guys walking through the woods,
yeah,
generally that means they didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this is a bunch of guys walking through the woods for like an hour.
Yeah. And it has two prologues.
Yeah. That was
like a double-decker prologue to sort of set everything up that you're going to need later on.
Yeah. The thing that threw me off right away was the prologue, and specifically how they decided to handle them. Because they did the camping thing.
Yes.
And then they jumped back 2 days, and then they jumped forward like 4 weeks or something.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, why would you do it? Like, why even say anything about the time jump? Like, it didn't really make that much of a difference.
Well, I sort of get talking about the time jump between prologue one and prologue two doesn't make a huge difference. But talking about the time jump between whichever prologue, really, and the main action of the movie, 4 weeks is a month.
Sure.
So that's where the full moon thing comes
in. Sure. Yes.
So like, I get what they're trying to do there, but it's
kind of sloppy in the front too.
Which you love. Yeah.
It's a really strange choice because it is a little bit, I think you find yourself trying to figure out three days, 4 weeks. And it's just, it's a weird kind of way to handle that.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for the silver letter opener, I don't even think you need that scene.
No, because absolutely not.
What's his name? Alfred, whose character name I don't know. The leader of the good guys.
Sergeant Wells.
He recounts that story basically as kind of like, oh, people say there was a campers up here that got eaten or whatever.
Yeah.
And after doing that, it's like, oh, do you really need to show that if you've got it? Because that scene with him, I thought was great. Like, well, he does, he gets the Quint scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think those are two separate. Well, so much men walking around talking. But I think one of the guys in the unit talks about, don't you know people keep going missing in this area?
Oh, I see. Sure.
And then later on, there's the nighttime campfire scene where Sergeant Wells gets the Quint scene. Yeah.
Regardless.
Yes.
They bring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I generally don't love when you kind of go back to that well twice. Like, if you're going to show it, don't, you don't really need to talk about it. If you're going to talk about it, you don't really need to show it.
Right. Right. And it's sort of like they by making the silver letter opener, Chekhov's silver letter opener, like we joked earlier, by making that such an important element that you have to explain how it got there.
Yeah,
they've sort of forced themselves into this situation of like, well, because I think somebody even says once much later on in the movie, the squad has kind of figured out that if these things are actually werewolves, that means they're also people. And if this is the only house in the area, this is their house. So it's their, you know.
Right, yeah.
And somebody even makes a crack, like, when they start looking for silver, why would a werewolf, family of werewolves, ever keep anything silver in their house? So I get what they're trying to do with the letter opener thing by being like, well, if we want there to be the silver weapon, we have to introduce it somehow, and it wouldn't make them sense for them to have it in their own house. So, shit, how do we do this? I guess we just slap a prologue on.
Yeah.
My counter argument to all of this would be, why don't you just not have silver be a thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's your werewolf movie. You like, people play with the rules of vampires and werewolves and stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Just skip that part.
I mean, maybe in this universe, the only way to kill a werewolf is to blow him up inside a house. That would be fun.
Yeah, maybe you shoot him a bunch.
Maybe in this universe, the building materials that they used in this section of the Scottish Highlands are based in silver. And so when you blow up the house, it's like you're setting off a giant grenade.
Yeah. Give somebody like a silver, I don't know, pocket watch or something. You know what I mean?
That would be hilarious if the weapon at the end is he like pulls out the silver pocket watch and starts like spinning it like what's her name, Gogo Yabari from Kill Bill.
Well, if it was something you could, like, if you tied them up with it, it leaves them powerless.
I've always,
I don't know, I'm reaching. I
love werewolves. I love werewolves. werewolf mythology. I love all the accoutrement with the moon and the silver and stuff. I do think it's kind of silly that all it takes is the smallest amount of silver to kill a werewolf.
Yes.
You know, like, if you, it's not like kryptonite. I think usually it's silver, like, yeah, it's silver, but it's a bullet they get shot with. Or Wolfman, it's a silver cane that he gets beaten to death with.
Yeah, he gets bludgeoned to death.
And I guess you could argue like he stabs him in the right place or something, but I don't know. It's not quite as fun when it's just like, oh, I've got a silver ring that I made him swallow and now he's dead.
Yeah, that's fair. I think really the way to fix this is just to like skip the silver part
of
the mythology.
Who's going to fix this? Robert Eggers. When he makes that werewolf movie, there's going to be no fucking around.
Your hero.
You're going to need like
your idol.
8 pounds of silver.
The man making movies just for
you. He's making movies just for me. He made Nosferatu. He's making a werewolf movie.
He's got a whole notebook where he doodles your name with little hearts around it.
They just announced he's going to be doing A Christmas Carol, which, I mean, I guess the hat budget was so big on Nosferatu, you got to get another use out of those hats.
You got those outfits. You hats and use coats. Them.
Although I made that joke last night when I was talking about it. And then I realized you can't even make that joke because realistically you can't use those costumes because they're 100 years before a Christmas Carol takes place.
Yeah, and they're in the wrong region.
Yes, so and there's no way.
Dress. Yeah.
No way he would do something as stupid as that.
God, no. What kind of plebeian idiot do you think he is?
I would love to see...
You keep talking like that, he's going to cancel that movie.
Oh, please don't cancel the movie. I would love to see him in conversation with, like, Roger Corman or the producers, like the Hammer producers, where it's like, I'm sorry, you need to make entire sets and costumes for what? We just shot 3 Dracula movies... A werewolf movie and a Frankenstein movie in the same set. Mm-hmm. So, what are we talking about? Dog soldiers?
Yeah. The prologues.
The prologue.
We were in the prologues.
In the prologue.
I think we've settled prologue number one.
Yeah. What did you feel about the? They almost lost you in the second prologue. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you just shoot a dog in the face for no reason. I'm not into that. Too much.
If you're gonna do it, Amanda needs a reason for you to shoot a dog in the face.
Yeah, and I need a reason to. In all seriousness, I need a reason beyond bad guy is bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't. I get what they were doing in setting up this animosity between Captain Ryan and Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not only did he reject Cooper,
how do you keep track of these names? I could not, for $1 million, have told you that guy's name was Captain Ryan.
Look, I have white man face blindness. I need something to guide me through this.
That's fair.
Because they all look the same in the dark, in the uniforms, running through the woods.
Yeah.
So I latch on to the names as hard as I can. If you held up their faces, like a couple of them, like Captain Ryan and Cooper and Sergeant Wells, I got them. Mm-hmm. The rest of the men in this unit, I'm terribly sorry, boys. You all seem lovely, but you all got the military haircut and the uniforms. Makes it really
extreme hard. Extreme English face.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I have no problem with, but it's just hard
to tell. Could
have
all been the same guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of that being said, I understand that the point of that prologue is, not only did Captain Ryan reject Cooper from the special forces unit that he was running, even though Cooper was amazing at the survival exercises and the things that they were doing, because he even says to him, I think at some point, like, you lasted for 22 hours, you're straight to the head of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rejects him just because he won't mindlessly shoot a dog. I just, like, do you need to actually shoot the dog, though? Couldn't you have just, like, had him give the order,
mm-hmm.
and then when Cooper won't do it, be like, fine, you're out, you're a failure, fuck off. Like, that dog's probably expensive.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, that dog has probably gone through a lot of training.
Yes.
For whatever you have.
That's probably a very, very expensive dog.
That dog, Cooper should have said, I can't shoot that dog. That dog is a soldier. A dog soldier.
I can't shoot that dog because I can't afford the bill I will be sent by the government.
Did we miss it? Was there a part where Ryan goes, shoot that dog, soldier?
I don't know.
But it's a comma.
No, I get what you're saying.
But it's also the title.
Yep. I just don't. I
missed
don't know.
Opportunities.
Maybe they did.
And
we just missed it.
Saying.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's I'm quibbling. I just don't like seeing dogs get murdered for really no reason in a film.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, once we get into it, we've Cooper is now in another group. Is he a medic?
I don't think so. He kind of gives second in command vibes.
Yeah.
Like
the amount of battlefield surgery he was doing for some reason made me think he was a medic, but maybe not.
I think the point is that he's like kind of super soldier for the group. You know what I mean? Like if he's the one who did almost like his like ethical, quote unquote, ethical quibbles or whatever are the only thing that kept him out of a special forces unit is the implication. Right.
Yeah.
So that would mean he has a wide breadth of training under his belt so that he can do all of this stuff, that he has basic field medicine to keep himself and others alive in these extreme situations, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I do actually, I like the Cooper prologue for that reason, where it explains like why he's so fucking competent and seems to like, even though he is not in charge of the unit, is very comfortable stepping into that role very quickly. And he generally does a good job as a leader, like, when he's in control. So yeah. I think, like, having that little bit about him being like, oh, you should have been in this elite squad, makes sense then later on why he is very good at his job. Why he can do things like super glue a man's intestines back into his body.
Is that real? Is that story about the glue being invented in Vietnam, is that real? I guess I could have looked it up, but I didn't. I prefer to think that it is true.
I prefer to think that it's true. I have no idea if it actually is. I do know that there have been stories of people who get gut wounds where their intestines come out and they live.
Yeah.
So that is possible.
Yeah.
If you want something else to have a nightmare about.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, they do it more often now, but like most war movies, it's usually you get shot and you fall down and they never really get into, like, sometimes a bullet can just strafe across your stomach and spill everything out onto the ground. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a kill shot, but it's not going to be fun.
Right. Right. And if you don't get an infection, you might be okay.
Maybe.
You might make it.
Yeah.
That scene, jumping forward to when they are getting attacked by the werewolves, I was surprised how much that worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where Sergeant Wells has gotten slashed open by a werewolf and he is laying on the ground with his guts out, yelling at Cooper to leave him because he's on the ground with his guts out.
It's not.
And they start trying to, like, shove it back in and he is screaming. Like,
yeah.
That actually worked really well on me. I was like, God.
It's not something, like, it always works and is always unnerving. Like, I remember, I think the first time I probably saw that special effect or something similar to that was probably Scream.
Yeah.
With the boyfriend and Scream.
Yes.
And they only show it for like half a second,
yeah,
but
quick.
I remember that being like, that was terrifying.
Yes.
And then even later on, I think, what's her name? When she gets hanged, I think she's been disemboweled too.
Yep.
And it's just, yeah, it's not the kind of wound that is, it's always jarring.
Yeah. Yeah. It were there's something I don't know if it's necessarily easier to imagine or just, like, worse to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you see somebody get their hand cut off in a movie, you're like, "Ah, oh wow, oh my god." But if you see somebody's intestines getting pulled out and they're still alive and have to deal with it, that feels I don't, like, there's something about that I don't know if it's just, like, easier to have a concept of what that might be like, and therefore it can affect you more mentally.
I almost think it might be the opposite.
Really?
Because, like, when you're watching a movie, I think there's some sort of diffusion that goes on in your brain where you kind of know that there's mostly a handful of ways that they can show you a special effect of somebody getting, like, killed or dismembered or something. And most of them are fairly clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like you said, if someone gets their hand cut off, it's a very clean cut at the wrist.
Yeah.
If someone gets shot, sure, maybe there's a big squib or something, but it's fairly clean, you know, bullet wound, circle.
Yeah.
You know, they got circles on them now that are bleeding or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gets stabbed, same thing, very clean. And it's not the kind of, most of the time, you're not seeing the kind of trauma being done to a body where it's like it makes it uncanny. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where it's like there's no clean way to tear someone's stomach out.
Yes.
And I think it's just one of those things where it's like, for whatever reason, that line of theater gets crossed into, like, I don't know what I'm looking at. This is very disturbing.
Yeah, and I think there's also the thing, at least for me, that, like, triggers in your brain about something, you know, your insides being out.
Yes.
You know, like, I can't, when you see somebody who's like they've had their legs chopped off or whatever, that's just, like, so far afield that you almost stop, like, your brain doesn't fully process the implications of that, I think. But there's something about the, like, somebody breaks an arm and the bone is sticking way out.
Yeah.
Like, that is so much more effective for me than just having the arm get cut off.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think those moments where the damage done to a body is much less clean.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they are always effective. And we just, the two of us went to see Bring Her Back, which has a really gnarly scene where basically someone's arm gets eaten like a chicken wing, essentially.
Yeah.
And it made me think about one of the other great gore, for lack of a better term, gore set pieces I've seen, which is very, very simple, but incredibly effective for the same reason. The hangnail scene in Black Swan.
Oh, yep.
Where she pulls it and it just keeps going down the finger. Like, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, that's not a clean movie wound.
Yeah.
Like, John McClane can get shot four times.
Right, and he's going to keep limping across the floor.
Put a bandage on it and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If the end of Die Hard was John McClane holding his intestines in, I don't think it would be as fun.
Yeah, I don't think people would call it a Christmas movie in that case.
Well, you got to string something around the tree. May as well be human entrails. But back to Dog Soldiers.
Yes.
What did you think? I think let's break this down into the first, like basically the two halves of the movie. There's the half where they're out in the woods and the half when they're in the house. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about the first half when it's just them kind of bumming around in the woods?
I have mixed feelings. So I would try not to break this movie down even further into smaller chunks.
Feel free.
But so in the front like quarter of the movie, then the first half of the first half.
I gotta do math. I don't want to do math.
The first half of the first half.
Okay.
Where they are just kind of walking around in the woods and chit-chatting. It's like, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I thought, you know, they do some fun little banter and there's some little character development moments of you get to know who these people are pretty quickly, you know, like they all give this one guy shit about, you know, he's just obsessed with the football game and doesn't want to be here. And then there's this other guy who's whatever. And you get the great campfire scene where Wells gets his Quint moment.
Yep. Great. Guy's got a great voice.
Yep.
And really good for that role. He's actually the son of John Pertwee, who was the third Doctor on Doctor Who.
Oh.
And if you see them side by side, he looks a lot like him.
You can see it. Yeah.
Neither here nor there, but interesting fun fact.
But I think that the part of the movie when after the campfire scene, like that's when things kicked into gear for me. When the cow falls over the cliff and then they start sort of realizing that something is going very wrong here. And they try to find the squad they're supposed to be doing this exercise with and everybody's been murdered, but their bodies are gone. Like that whole sequence from then on to like early-ish in the house, I think work really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think once they're in the house, it starts to get a little uneven because any movie where you get all your characters stuck in one location like that, it does tend to fall into that Evil Dead, Night of the Living Dead pattern of like, moment of calm, moment of a chaotic attack, moment of calm, moment of chaotic attack. Mm-hmm. And that always makes me think, like, especially in this one, these creatures are like supernaturally powerful werewolves. Why do they ever stop attacking?
Yeah.
You know, why do they just like retreat back to the woods to chill out if bullets don't really hurt them and can't kill them?
Yeah. It's unclear how they definitely don't kill them.
Yeah.
But it's unclear how much damage they actually do.
Sure.
Because there are some moments where it seems like, you know, they put that little squealing dog effect in there.
Yeah, and the thing rears back and runs away.
Yeah. And so, but I do take your point where it's like there's really no reason why these guys just can't smash in through, just kill everybody in 35 seconds.
Right.
But I guess you don't have a movie at that point. But.
No. I'm not saying I don't like it at all. It's just like it happens a bunch in this movie.
It does, yeah.
Like there's maybe one too many times where you go through that cycle of like attack and then perfect quiet. Attack and then perfect quiet. Like I think I wish there had been maybe something else going on in those quiet moments where it's not just them all kind of bickering and then yelling at Captain Ryan.
Yeah.
And then getting attacked again.
I think the biggest problem with this movie, which honestly when I say the biggest problem, it's not really that much of a problem
because
the rest of it is so much fun. But once they get to the house, they add way too much plot stuff. Like it's, they got Ryan there and then why is Ryan there? Oh, well, they were doing this and they were using these guys to lure them. And then, oh wait, she knows him. Which they never really explained.
Yep.
Apparently, that element was added by a producer, and Neil Marshall never liked that. But
I can tell.
You get it. You start getting into a lot of business where it's like, okay, sure, who cares?
Yeah.
Like this is not going to change anything. This is not going to impact anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only I was expecting, like the first thing that I thought once they started, not right away, but like as they were going through, I was like, okay. What is the like late second act twist that makes the most sense? It's that, oh, it must be their house. It must be the werewolf's house.
Yeah.
Which it was.
Yeah.
And they kind of just gloss right over that. And I was expecting much more of like a, oh shit, this is their house.
Right.
Which they don't really do. They focus more on the Ryan stuff, which I just don't see how any of that matters.
You know, I don't mind that stuff. I actually kind of liked how they peppered some of that in towards the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like where, you know, when they first find the camp for the special forces group that they're supposed to be doing this exercise with, and they just find Gore and they realize Gore?
Just, former vice president of the United States?
Yeah, he was just out there waiting for them to come by.
Doing climate research?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't president, so.
That's true, yeah. It would have been shortly after that, so he might have been
He just was like, I needed a sabbatical. Yeah. I thought I'd come out here and be in nature. You know, just Al Gore.
Good for him.
But they were trying to use their radio to contact help, and they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Their radio was like, somebody had fucked with it at some point. Like, they found that weird, like a weird chip in it.
Yep. They were being tracked. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that when they find Captain Ryan and he is delirious and near death, he keeps yelling, there was only supposed to be one.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Like I like that they realize later on that they were set up.
Yeah.
And I like that they realize that Cooper specifically realizes later on that not only were they set up, they are set up specifically because of him.
Yeah.
Because Ryan is an asshole. And he remembered Cooper.
Yes.
And was like, yeah, if I'm going to get anyone in their whole unit killed, it's that fucking guy, that fucking kid. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
That tells me that Ryan was really disappointed that Cooper didn't go all the way through because he saw a lot of potential in Cooper.
If
he had just shot that dog, he could have maximized that potential. And now he's just mad that he squandered it.
You are a dog murderer apologist.
No, I'm just saying I understand where he's coming from.
You understand a dog murderer.
I mean, yeah.
Should I call some sort of rescue organization for your dog?
Listen, having empathy for someone does. What is it? What do they say nowadays?
They don't.
Depiction does not equal consent.
What?
I don't know. I've never killed a dog.
Spoken like a true dog murderer.
Who hasn't wanted to kill it? Who hasn't thought about it?
Me.
Mm.
I have never thought about killing a dog.
Do not believe you.
We're going to have a fight about this when we get off air because I'm mad now. But anyway, I actually liked that stuff. Like I like that there is an explanation for like, yeah, you guys are the bait.
Yeah.
Like, duh, we knew there was this creature out here. You're a snack for this monster that we are gonna capture. The thing I didn't like, and the thing I would argue is the weakest part of this movie, is Megan.
Yeah.
Like, period. End of sentence.
Oh. Well, literally. Period.
What is like, why is she in this movie?
Something for the boys to look at.
But they kind of don't. I don't, like, they're just like, they call her Miss the whole time. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so.
Like, the character itself doesn't bother me. Because it's like, somebody's out there, some researcher, she claims, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. No problem. But once they do that weird reveal.
Oh God!
That she's part of the family. Also,
they do that weird reveal, and then they immediately shoot her in the head, and she's gone.
That's right. Yeah, she doesn't even turn into a. She's
no,
just
she
just
gets
shot
like
in the face.
Eyes. Her eyes go yellow, and she gets fangs, and she goes, and then they shoot her in the head. She's out.
I also love that this is like, so when I was in middle school.
I thought you were going to say the Scottish middle Islands. School?
Maybe it was high school. Anyway, maybe it was high school. Middle school. I did mock trial, right?
Oh, okay.
And I remember doing at one of the trials, it was like a hit and run thing or some sort of car accident.
Jesus.
And there was a question posed to one of the people on our team about, like, why didn't you see the stop sign at the end of the street? Why did you just blow through the stop sign?
Mm-hmm.
And the person responded with, well, the headlights on my car were pretty low to the ground, and so they didn't light up the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I was like, oh, brilliant. Great answer. And then I think about that often. I don't know why. And I go, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
That's ridiculous.
No, that's not how headlights work.
And the reason I bring that up is because I had the same thought watching this when Cooper's like, of course you're not in any of these photos. You were the one taking the pictures. Of these family photos.
Yeah.
Of course you're not in them. You were taking the photos.
As foreshadowed by the fact that she keeps using the camera to flash the werewolf in the eyes.
And I was like, okay, I can understand, like, in the moment as you're writing that, being like, oh, brilliant. But then, like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
She's not in literally any photo of this family because she's always the one taking the picture.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And why is she not transformed?
I don't know. That's what I was talking about, the moon thing. Like, the moon thing, apparently, it seems to me that you can, if you've been doing it long enough, I guess, you can control when you do and don't change into a werewolf, which is not something they get into, but that seems to be the way it is. I don't know. When we got to that part of the movie, I really just, like, lost control of any of these plot threads. Like, I was like, I don't know. Ryan's a werewolf now. Great.
Yep.
She's also a werewolf. I'm not really sure why she was toying with them. And
she's sort of like, they give her this god-awful, it's not even like a monologue. It's just like a series of declarative sentences where she's like, I didn't choose this. I didn't want to be part of the pack. And she's, it's like horrible. It's such cliche. Like it's such a letdown because, like, a lot of the banter between the guys in the squad was fun and sort of, I don't know, gave you a sense that they were like real people and they had relationships and they teased each other and they had, like, certain people seemed closer than others and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing, I thought, in this was actually pretty good for most of the movie. Like, most of the dialogue, I think, you know, some of the more military stuff starts to sound cliched to your ear, but I don't know how much of that is actually cliche versus how much is like, well, this is just how military jargon gets used.
Yeah.
And then we hit this scene with Megan revealing the big twist that she's a werewolf. And it feels like it was written by a totally different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it feels like they just sat and wrote it on the back of a napkin and were like, here, say this stuff. Where she's like, I know you think women can be a bitch, but I really am one.
It is
being nice
my
to
time
me
of the month.
Will get you killed. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking? Like,
I also was rejected in high school.
Yeah. It is so stupid. It's so
It's really weird.
Dumb.
Yeah.
And it's so pointless.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need it. You really don't. Like, at that point, most of the unit is dead. Captain Ryan has turned into a werewolf. You're getting strong signs that Sergeant Wells is going to turn into a werewolf. They've just run out of guys to help defend the house. And the werewolves have been battering at doors and windows this whole time. You don't need her as, like, a distraction or something. Like, the whole...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's one of those things where, like, as you're writing something like this, or anything really, but something like this, where as you're getting deeper into it, you want to keep the ball rolling as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, honestly, if you don't do that with her in this movie, she really serves no purpose.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. And so I do think it is probably a fairly like, all right, what's one more thing we could do here to punch it up and raise the stakes or something? Oh, well, what if she's part of the family? Okay, yeah. Sure. Then, you know, now everybody's against Cooper. So I can see that being the choice. Can I not to go off on another tangent. I think that kind of thing, I would rather you do something like that than just have the character just be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because I do think a modern movie problem is that people get too attached to their own characters and end up not doing anything with them.
Yeah.
That's why you have like these Fast and Furious movies that every time they make one, they add like five people to the cast.
Right. And it just like gets bigger and bigger and there's more and more people to keep track of every movie.
It's such a change from action movies from 25 years ago where it's like, no, by the end of the movie, everyone's dead except the main guy.
And maybe one other person.
And if they're not, they sure as shit ain't coming back for the next one.
Right, right.
You know, Vicky Vale's not coming back for Batman Returns.
Poor Vicky. But I guess my argument was I don't really see the point of the character of Megan at all. Like, I would just...
Well, that's why I think that stuff ends up so janky.
Yeah.
It's because, like, well, we got to find some for it. Okay, maybe she's a werewolf. Right. Maybe she knows who this guy...
We'll
Do
call
we know
her
why a... they know who she knows who the guy is? Who Ryan is?
So she knows... She says she was seconded into his unit
like
when...
Like, seconded forever?
That was, like, very bad dad joke.
I don't know what seconded means.
Pretty much, like... temporarily conscripted when his unit first comes to the area looking for the creature.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because she is the zoologist there studying it. Mm-hmm. I think the implication is supposed to be like, oh, she's probably like grant funded, right? So it's like a government grant, which means that they get to say to her, hey, stop working on that grant, like on that project right now. You're going to help these guys. You're going to tell them everything you know. And then you can go back to your grant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's supposed to be the setup is, you know, she's sort of pulled in as a resource to help get Ryan and his unit up to speed on what they're up against. Mm-hmm. But it's so weird. Like, it's such a weird, I don't know. It's just such a weird thing to throw in there when the two of them are acting like they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
For most of the movie.
Yeah, there's no indication that they know each other until that one scene.
Yeah, there's no weird like moment where she's like helping get him into the car and she kind of freezes and they're like, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, nothing. He's just really hurt or, you know. I don't know. It's also just like, why?
Yeah.
What does that do?
Yeah, I think I feel like it is only there to just keep you mentally stimulated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you've just got a bunch of characters who are doing nothing, who are eventually going to get killed.
Yeah.
And like, what else do you have them talk about, frankly?
But I guess then if you're going to have a character like Megan in this movie to kind of act as this double agent Trojan horse kind of thing, one would think she would play up the fact that she hates Ryan when she realizes that Cooper hates Ryan, which you realize they all hate Ryan.
Yeah.
Really early on.
Yeah.
You would think she would use it as a way to get closer to him. Because that does seem like if that character has any sort of motivation in this movie, my best guess is that she thinks that if she can get close enough to him, he can help her escape this family. Because that she keeps saying like at one point, I didn't choose this. I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to get me out of here, but now that there's no hope, oh well. Like,
period jokes.
I guess. Like, but why not have her then say, wait, I do know this asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He's come around this area before. He's always asking weird questions. He said he's coming here to hunt the creatures, and I didn't want to help him. I think he's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would probably have endeared her more quickly to the unit than like pretending like she doesn't know him and trusting that he's gonna hold up pretending like he doesn't know her.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't he rat her out immediately?
Yes. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
I guess he doesn't know she's a werewolf, but.
No, he doesn't, but he does know her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So like he could have very, very easily and seems like it would have been very in character for him to be trying to get under the other's skin by being like, oh, you know, you're trusting Megan here and you don't even really know who she is. You don't know her like I do.
Or, I mean, if she's a zoologist who was there helping Ryan's group.
Right.
At no point does Ryan go, yeah, how do you think we got murdered by those werewolves? She led us there.
Right. She was supposed to help us or what? Yeah, there's
yeah,
just...
it was. She led us into a slaughterhouse. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't trust this girl as far as I could throw her.
Right. And then she could be like, look, you know, he's an asshole. He'll say anything to save himself. Why would you trust him over me? And there could have been. You could have created that tension to keep people engaged, like you were saying, that way rather than have it just be like this really weird throwaway reveal of like, oh, yeah, I knew him. And then we totally move on to like exploding the barn or whatever.
Yeah, it does.
And then she's like, oh, also I'm a werewolf. Oh, now
it does,
I'm dead.
It does have that feeling where she's like, yes, I know him. And Cooper should be like, did you guys like hook up? Or?
Like, was it a bad breakup?
How many soldiers have there been before me? Not that it matters, but just curious.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it wouldn't have taken that much more thinking to find a way, if you're going to have her character and you're going to have her be this sort of ambiguous character where you can kind of pivot these reveals around her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could have just done it in a way that was a little more like engaging rather than just this throwaway thing and let's move on. Now this throwaway thing, let's move on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The thing that I do find as like a writer, if you're doing this kind of thing, is I think it's very easy to kind of lose sight of what kind of movie you're making.
Sure.
And I just, I guess I don't mean that critically towards this, just anecdotally, I guess. Because like I can see, all right, let's say you're writing this, right? And you get to the point, it's like, okay, this is get to this house and then it's going to be like a survival thing, but I've got these characters, I want to focus on the action, but I've got these characters and they need to have some sort of relationship to each other. So you start unpacking that, and then it gets real easy to fall down the rabbit hole of like, she knows him, but what about this and maybe this, and like, and then it, but then you go, okay, but now I'm turning this into like a drawing room drama. It's real easy to lose sight of that stuff or fall too far down that hole. I'm not saying that's what they did.
No.
I'm just as an example thinking out loud about this stuff.
And I can see what you're saying where if, say, you, as you were crafting this part of the story and you hit the point where you're like, okay, so now is when they find out like Captain Ryan has been here before and his unit has been here before. And that's why they kind of knew what they were, or they thought they knew what they were up against. Wait, shit. If he and his unit have been here before, then he would have had to have met Megan. There's only like six people in this fucking valley. Like, all right, damn it. Fine. They do know each other. Like, you're just sort of trying to figure out the inconsistencies or the potential questions people might come up with as you're going. And so then it leaves you with some of these loose threads.
Yeah. And it's tough too. Cause like I think you have the potential in a character like her to do, like, if you look at Aliens, right? The brilliance of the Paul Reiser character in Aliens is that everything he does has a very specific purpose to it, but you don't realize that until much later into the movie. Like, he does a lot of stuff that feels very benign and feels very inoffensive. And then once you realize, oh, every move he's made in this movie has been to get him closer to his one goal.
Yeah.
That makes all of that stuff work. Whereas here, I feel like with Megan or Ryan, they could have done that with either of them.
Yes.
And they just don't.
Yes.
And again, I don't know how hard to harp on this stuff, because at the end of the day, I'm very skeptical. You know, I consider myself a very
Jason Statham.
Yeah, of a person who's not as skeptical as one might believe. But like at the end of the day, you're making a movie about a bunch of soldiers fighting werewolves in a house, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so, how many calories do you really want to spend on that stuff? But I think we've, in a very long-winded roundabout way, said like all you need is like two lines.
Like if you're gonna introduce all of these sort of like you like. again, very long road we just took to get back to exactly what you said when we started this portion of the discussion,
yeah.
Which was this back half in
What's
the
really
house.
Funny is we both work as editors.
I know. We cannot stop fucking talking. But this part in the house, it introduces too many plot points.
Yes.
In too much extraneous detail that if you're not going to do something with it, you didn't need to put all of it in there.
Right.
That's mostly what we're saying.
Right.
we can just cut. Do you want to just cut from when we started that part of the conversation to what I just summed it up as and get rid of,
no,
get rid of the middle
30
minutes?
This would be like a
minutes.
Half an hour yeah. episode. Yeah. Do you like the action? Do you think it works well?
I do.
Yeah.
I think they really, again, this movie impressed me so much with how much they do with such a small budget.
Yeah.
And I think they really use the darkness to their advantage in the fact that the movie is shot and kept very dark.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was so happy to see a movie shot on film. A low budget movie shot on film.
Yep.
Is going to look better than a low budget movie shot on digital. And obviously, yep. It's 2002. Shooting on digital was not as prevalent as it is now.
Yeah. But it was still. Yeah.
But yeah, and they like this had that look that is, you can't really, low budget digital movies try to get this look, but they can't do it because the reason it looks the way it does is because they shot it on like 16mm and then they blew it up to 35. And so it has a certain amount of distortion and darkness built into it naturally, which is, I think, very difficult to emulate digitally unless you're really working with like high end stuff. But yeah, I think the darkness and stuff really works to its advantage.
Yeah, and it keeps the werewolves intriguing looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think I'm pretty sure if you saw those werewolf costumes in full light, it would just be like, oh, it's a guy in kind of like
a big head, basically.
Yeah, and a big wolf head.
I thought the design was,
but they look really good.
Yeah, there's a couple shots where you get like a pretty good, like dead on shot of the face where I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like they must
have kept kind of in those like quick motions and the light isn't great. Yeah. And yeah, it's like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
I think they must have looked at Aliens quite a bit for this.
Yeah.
Because even the costume has a very xenomorph kind of vibe where it's a very kind of skinny person with a big head.
Yeah, who feels like tall and like the limbs are too long.
Yeah.
You know, like the arms feel too long for the rest of the body.
Yeah. I guess he hired dancers to be the werewolves because he wanted more elegant movement.
Yeah. Smart decision.
But yeah, I think that stuff looks great. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the gore was all really good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the scene where Joe, I think, gets murdered in the second Jeep.
Yeah.
He gets just like really torn up by one of the werewolves, and when they open the doors, it's just like a lava flow of viscera slides out. It was like, oh, that was good. That must have taken them a lot of manager special from the butcher shop.
Yes. A lot of severed heads in this too, which I appreciate.
Yeah, when he bites the guy's head off and then throws it at the car.
Yeah. See, like stuff like that is scary but also funny.
Yeah, but also funny.
Like I feel like the thing that sets the tone for the movie is the cow sequence at the beginning.
Yes.
Because that's freaky.
Poor cow.
But it's also pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like the idea that this group of dudes is just completely broken up by a cow that just fell out of nowhere and like exploded.
These big strong guys with their big guns and they freak out because the cow is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that stuff was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked, even though I kind of lost track of a bit what was going on, I liked the last sequence in the house where Cooper's like cutting through the walls to get to the different rooms and while Wells is hairspray firing, blowtorching. Yeah.
I liked that. I wish, like, I'm sure it's shot the way it's shot because of the budget, but it did get kind of hard to keep track of like who exactly was where and like, the different like cuts between the different scenes were sometimes a little weird, and then you'd realize, oh wait, they're in like the same room.
Yeah.
Even when it felt like they were like very separate, doing very separate things. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's just the constraints of what they were working with. I was kind of let down by the final confrontation in the basement.
Yeah, that was kind of silly.
It was just sort of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, I mean, one of the things we should have put in things you'll find is a bomb retardant horsehair plaster slats.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just in the basement of that house.
Yeah.
And above him, you can see through the wood.
Yes.
And the entire house explodes.
Yes, yeah.
It's not just like, oh, it's a bit of a fireball.
Right, right.
The whole brick rock structure
yes.
explodes.
Yes.
And he just walks out like Venkman at the end of Ghostbusters, not covered in marshmallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little silly at the end there.
Yeah. Also, I did like that he remembered the advice to cover his ears and open his mouth.
Yeah, and mind your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that final fight with the werewolf is kind of silly.
Yeah, it just felt like after all that, like if you're going to have the final confrontation come down to being Cooper and werewolf Captain Ryan, theirs has been the most antagonistic relationship through the whole movie.
I'm going to tell you right now, did not even put together that was Captain Ryan at the end.
Oh, really?
Does he say it?
I think he might say it. I think Cooper says something. About it.
Because I think it got lost in the whole thing. Because I know. Right. But does he stab him with the sword when he's in the house?
I think so.
Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. Because, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't paying attention. But
well, again, it's like there does get to a certain point with this movie where a lot's happening very quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think if you're going to have these two characters kind of have this final climactic fight, that it would have just had maybe a little more oomph. To it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what I'm asking for, but
should have killed him with the sword instead of that little tiny Stephen King's pen.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I think I feel like we pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I do. I do want to say it's really interesting that this came out the same year as 28 Days Later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like low budget British genre kind of monster movies.
Yeah,
it's a werewolf movie and a zombie movie.
It's a little bit surprising. I don't know which one came out first, and I don't feel like looking it up, but
fair.
I was gonna say it's a little bit surprising if this came out after 28 Days Later. I'm surprised it didn't get a theatrical release.
Yeah,
because you'd think it'd be like, oh, British monster movie.
Yeah, let's ride this
looks
wave.
Low fidelity.
Yeah,
let's see what happens. Kind of a zombie movie depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, you get bitten, you get infected.
Yeah, people trying to get into a house.
Yeah.
While trying to get out of the house.
Yeah.
But they're stuck in the house.
People keep talking about footy.
All over 28 Days Later. Yeah, I think for me, I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't know if it's one I'm going to go back to, really. I think if I had discovered this movie when it came out, I would have really been in the bag for this.
Yeah,
because I was a big werewolf guy. Just because I was six,
and also a big werewolf guy.
Yeah, 6'3" with long hair and a big beard in college. And I think this was probably right around the time where I had watched The Howling and really liked that. And so I don't know how I missed this. But yeah, now I don't have any nostalgia for it, and I think it's really interesting. I think it's a great first movie.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many times I would go back to it.
This would be the type of movie where, like, I can think of a couple people in my life who, if they have not seen this movie, like, I think, like, my older brother would get a kick out of this movie.
Yeah.
And so I could totally see a world in which, if he and I were hanging out and I was like, you know what, I got a movie for you, like, he would enjoy this. And I could see rewatching this with someone like that.
Oh, totally.
Where it's like, you'd be into this. This will be fun. Let's throw it on.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much it would be like a, you know, random Wednesday night. And I'm just like, I want to put something on. What am I in the mood for? I don't know if this would be.
Let's have a nice glass of wine.
Watch a man shoot a dog in the face.
Get myself a bubble bath ready.
Oh, damn.
Bring my iPad in, throw on Dog Soldiers. Just
no. That's when you watch Interview with a Vampire, please.
Oh, of course. If you want to get sloppy at the back, I guess.
Jesus.
Because of the bubbles, Amanda.
Clean, then.
I got to be honest with you. I drew that out because I was waiting for you to take a sip of that drink.
No, I'm just going to hold it. You're never going to know.
Damn it. So close. Yeah, this is number 198 on our list. How do you feel about that? Would you leave it on here? Would you take it off?
You know, I think I would leave it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm pretty happy with where it's at.
Yeah.
Like in the 190s, close to 200. Because I know even though you and I both missed this movie, it has a very ardent following.
Rabid fan base, you might say.
Yes, you might say, if you were insensitive. But I know a lot of people really love this movie.
Yeah.
And it had a big impact on a lot of people, I think. And it has a lot of longevity. I think it really is one of those movies that probably is more well known now than it was when it first, you know, like when typically movies are at the height of their popularity, like within the couple of years, a year or two of coming out. Like, I feel like this is probably more popular now.
Yeah, it seems to be one that was like a slow build.
Yes.
Because of the way it was or wasn't released, I guess.
Yeah.
198, I think if you're going to put it on here, is pretty good. I will say I probably will also keep it on the list, mainly because I just don't think there's that many good werewolf movies.
Yeah.
As someone who really likes, as I say for the eighth time,
yeah,
I say it so much. It sounds like I don't like werewolves.
Doth protest too much.
As someone who really enjoys werewolf movies, it's really kind of hard to find good ones.
Yeah.
There's only a handful. There's like The Howling, American Werewolf, The Wolfman.
Yep.
Depending on how you feel about any of the other Wolfman centric movies.
Right.
There's the Oliver Reed one that Hammer did is fun, but
Ginger
not
Snaps.
Essential. Ginger Snaps, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could probably easily slot this into one of the 10 best
movies. Yeah. If this was in somebody's top five werewolf movies, I'd be like, yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for that reason, I think it being Neil Marshall's first movie, that's worth something. And, yeah, I think it has a pretty solid cult following. So, I will leave it on the list as well.
You make the cut.
Good job.
Dog Soldiers.
Black Christmas, not good enough for this list.
Yeah. God damn it. Really?
Dog Soldiers, clearing it by two. Now, we are going to hit the randomizer button. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. And we might be taking a week off.
Is that what the randomizer
That's
told
what it said.
You?
It said you guys need to get out of the house.
It said ask again later.
Yeah, no, because we're both going away, and so I'm thinking.
Yes.
We haven't really talked about this, but we'll probably end up taking a week off at the end of June. So we probably won't be back with a new episode after this until into July. But when we do, we will be back with number 135, which is the movie Annihilation.
Oh, my God.
Which I know is a favorite of yours.
Yes.
So that'll be a fun one to talk about.
Yes, I cannot wait.
That
gives me time to reread the book.
Okay, so.
Changing the movie.
I didn't know there was going to be reading involved.
I'll do it. You know, I'm not going to make you do it.
No, I was just saying, because we've done 28 Days Later, we will be doing Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a wild card in this grouping because we had done, the last group was kind of, we fucked with a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
But after doing Annihilation, which is an Alex Garland movie,
yeah,
I kind of want to do Men.
I'm down for that.
Because I really want you to watch Men.
I really
want to
watch it.
And then I just want to sit here quietly while you talk about
it for an hour.
While
I scream into the microphone. Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe.
So what you're saying is you want to take a week off in June and a week off in July.
Yeah, baby. Kidding me? So I think that's what we'll probably do. We'll do Annihilation, and then we'll do Alex Garland's Men.
All for an Alex Garland mini.
Which
mini marathon.
Everybody that I know who has seen that movie
kind
of has the same response, which is a very British kind of like, well, I watched it.
Oh, great.
But
something to look forward to.
But I don't know if I've talked to any women who have seen it.
Mm.
So I'm really curious to hear what you think about it.
Oh, is this going to be like she chooses the bear every time?
Yeah, you're one of like three women that I know. So, and I've been the one who lives with me definitely won't watch it. So
fair.
Anyway, okay. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/thepenskyfile and follow along with us as we cover remakes and reboots this year. And for the month of June, we are doing Amityville Horror.
Yes.
Which Amanda is very excited about.
I'm excited and scared, but not because I'm scared of the movie. More because I'm scared it's not going to be what I remember.
Yes. Yes and.
Yes and.
We've done Dawn of the Dead. We've done Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Mm-hmm. We've done some other stuff. The Wicker Man. And we'll be doing that all year. So follow along there.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Brad.
We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.